land. We own it. We own the old Aberdeen Shore. That's our lands, right? And the unceded territories of our country, but we're still fighting with all that stuff. And but they were good. They donated the log to me, the tree, in the sense of...
Hello and welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today I'm going to be playing an interview from way back in November 2012. The idea is imperfect spirituality. And I feel like it's very timely to be talking about that. And I have another interview I'm doing tomorrow with a repeat guest, and we're going to be talking about recovering from chronic pain and a lot of the emotional aspects of chronic pain, as well as the neurological pathways in the brain. So tune in next week for that as well. And before I jump into this pre-recorded archived interview, I just want to talk a little bit about what's going on with me and the show and the world. First of all, I hope that you're having a wonderful day and a wonderful start to your week. And I know that there is a lot going on in the world right now. I've cut down my social media usage by at least 80% because people are actively seeking out. If something's automatically tweeted on my newsfeed, I'll get people writing to me that I didn't even realize what they're posting about. I have to look back. And there's just a lot of anger going on in the world right now. Understandably, of course, I want to validate the fear and anger that people are feeling, and myself as well. So it's been concerning to me. And in the last few weeks, the last couple of months, actually, I guess since all this election stuff kind of started coming to a head, I started getting more and more anxious and fearful. And then that led to kind of depression and a negative worldview, which again is super understandable for anyone who's feeling that way. But I mentioned a couple of weeks at the beginning of the year that I'm starting a writing project. If you're interested in that, you can go to my website, mariebernard.com, and sign up for my mailing list today, because the email is going out, theoretically, it's going out tomorrow. And I'm going to be taking a very select few people through a year-long process of writing, where I'll be sending out at least monthly emails, possibly weekly, but I'm only committing to monthly. And at the beginning of the year, I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And I had committed to starting it by the end of January, but I didn't really have a focus for it. And last night, it came to me with all of what is going on in the world and all of the chaos. All of these synchronicities have kind of been happening and little things leading up to it. I had Farzana on a few weeks ago talking about cheating at meditation, and that was a little mini catalyst for change. And then there a lot of the drama that's been going on, it has been a catalyst for my own personal change. I don't know how it's been for you. Sometimes it's hard to see through it because it's so in my face. And in our faces, it's hard to see anything else. But one of the things that I'm working on now, committing to, if you're a regular listener of the show, you know that I kind of have shiny object syndrome. And so I'm always working on these different projects in this attempt to better myself. I have to get better. I have to get more successful so that I can be safe. And, you know, the world is just not feeling like a safe place right now. And I feel like that's almost forcing me and many other people to step up and just step into whatever power that we can have. And the best way that I feel like to do that is to really double down on my self-care and my self-compassion and my meditation practice, which has been sporadic at best. And yeah, someone on Twitter posted a couple days ago, self-care, your self-care is the resistance. And so if you want to be part of the resistance of this, whatever that means to you, if you want to be part of a better world, whether you're on one side of the argument or the other. I think what everyone wants is a better world. So wherever you stand on your political opinions, I feel like we all can take part in our own self-compassion, our own self-care, because ultimately when we feel safer within ourselves, when we feel centered and calm and we're able to take a breath and notice that fear, notice that anger, and not engage in it and not allow it to suck us into that vortex of hatred and fear, that's where our power lies. At least that's what I feel. I mean, you can do whatever you want to do. I totally respect whatever journey that you are on. But I feel for myself that this is my next step. So the writing project is going to be about the next year. Everything is going to be focused. I'm committing to a year of self-compassion. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to be slacking off. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to be doing practical things and taking practical steps and actions in the world, but it's all going to be through this filter of self-compassion rather than the filter of I'm not good enough and I have to assess everything that comes my way because it might be that one thing that fixes me or that fixes my life or that makes me safe. And so I'm just going to do whatever I can to continue to bring it back mindfully to I'm just rambling on. I didn't sleep much last night. I should have got up and started writing, but I was trying to force myself to sleep, which again, that's the thing, is this forcing. Like, I've been feeling for quite some time that everything is just so forced, at least for myself, and that I feel like, oh, if I don't look at this opportunity, I might miss out. So it's a lot of decisions that I've made in my life, throughout my entire life, but especially in recent weeks, have been from this filter of fear and lack, fear of missing out, fear of not being good enough, fear of not being liked. And so I hope that if this is something that resonates with you, then go ahead and sign up for my mailing list, mariebenard.com, and I will be sending out the email tomorrow. I'm going to be charging $10 for the year for this writing project program, whatever you want to call it. But I probably will be sending out shorter emails to just the general mailing list. So if you are wanting to just sign up for free and not participate financially, that is absolutely cool. I'm not in it to make money. I'm more asking people who are interested to send me a small payment, mostly to keep me accountable so that I continue with it rather than just the on to another project when that gets boring or some new sparkly object catches my attention. So if you know what that's like, then I'm sure you understand. But I hope that you are having a wonderful week, and we're going to be listening to this previous interview again. If you're just tuning in, this is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia campus. We are so blessed to be able to use these facilities and this beautiful campus, this beautiful Musqueam land. And so I just want to share some appreciation and acknowledgement for that as well. And this is an archived episode from way back in 2012. So I hope you enjoy it. It's Imperfect Spirituality. Have a great day, a great week. Be well. Namaste. Hello and welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and this is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might be listening in Kamloops at CFBX, or in Nova Scotia at Axe Radio Canada, or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And today we are joined by Polly Campbell. She is the author of Imperfect Spirituality. And I don't know if you're anything like me, you spend a lot of your time striving for perfection and then ending up falling short and feeling really disappointed. So I am really glad to have Polly Campbell on the show today. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you. I'm excited to be here. You guys are everywhere. I heard that list, and I've heard your show, and it's fantastic.
Thank you very much. Yay. Well, it's exciting to be all around. And yeah, we were supposed to have Jay-Z Knight on the show today. She had contacted me and wanted to be on the show. And then, I don't know, last minute change. So I really appreciate you being available to be on the show to talk about imperfect spirituality. So let's just jump right into it. Or actually, before we do that, how about you tell us a little bit about your background and why you decided to write this book?
Oh, sure. I am a writer. That's my profession. And so I've been doing magazine work and public relations work and corporate writing for about 20 years. And really, about 10 years ago, I started to specialize in the personal development and spirituality field, because that was my personal interest. I have studied these practices for decades and meditated and visualized and prayed and read books and attended the seminars and workshops and practiced in my own life. And then about 5 years ago, I had some major life transition. I had a new baby, which changed my relationship to my body. It changed my relationship with my husband. It changed how I was in the house. I was never alone anymore. It changed my relationship to my work, because I decided to cut back my work and stay home while she was little. And all those changes, I mean, none of them were really negative things, but it was a huge time of transition for me. And at the same time, I was diagnosed with melanoma, which is skin cancer. And so all these things were coming into my life, and the way I had practiced before, my meditations and my solitude and contemplation work and my visualizations, the things I had done for all those years weren't working the same way for me. And I felt a real disconnect. And at first I didn't realize what was going on. So, you know, like many people do, when I was in those moments of upset and transition, I started complaining and having negative thought patterns. I started blaming my husband, you know, if you would just do this, if you would just do that. And finally I realized that what was going on is there was a big disconnect between my head and my heart, and I needed to reground myself in my essence and my spirit, and I needed to find a way to make the practices more practical at that moment in time in my life. So tough to meditate with a baby squealing in the background, and to be honest, with a baby, at the end of the day, I mostly just wanted to have a glass of wine and kick back and relax a little bit. And so what I found was there were many ways to do these practices throughout the day, while I was washing dishes or taking a shower, while I was commuting to and from different errands. And I just pulled these traditional practices that I've used my whole life and made them real practical and imperfect. You know, I'm not sitting down to meditate for an hour. I don't always have the quiet mind. I don't always feel in the moment connected to myself. Things can be stressful. And so I kind of gave up all these rules around it and brought it in to work for me on a moment-by-moment basis in the kind of life I'm living now.
Well, thank goodness for that.
Thank goodness for that. Really. You know, and Marie, you know, because this is what you talk about, but this stuff is so practical. And I think people, all of us at times, get away from that and think, oh, well, I have to meditate just like this, otherwise it doesn't count, otherwise it doesn't matter, or I can't afford to go to this workshop, so what's the point of even practicing this stuff when I don't know the right way to do it? And what this book is about, and really what I'm about and what I'm learning, is there's not a wrong way to do it. You can access it at any moment in your life.
Yay. Well, it was interesting you were talking about your background and how you, after the baby and everything, you were through this transitional time and you found yourself complaining a lot. Because I've been lately, for the last little while, it's just like I'm sick of hearing myself complain.
I relate to that for sure.
And so what do you do? I mean, today on the way here, I looked out the window and I noticed the beautiful colors and I tried to take a moment to appreciate that. And it is great to have that moment of gratitude. But I'm finding that lately my average kind of baseline is bitching and complaining all the time. When, you know, I mean, I'm not on the East Coast with Hurricane Sandy. I've got a place to live and everything, but it's just like this low grade,
ornery grouchiness that I can't, and I feel like the desire to, like, I know better, or I feel like I know better, so the desire to move beyond that is really strong, and yet I'm feeling this constant frustration with myself because I hear the words coming out of my mouth. I know that it's not going to make me feel better to moan about it, and yet I'm still doing it. So when you found yourself in that kind of place, what did you do to snap out of it?
Well, yeah, you know, I think we all experience that, and simply because I practice this stuff doesn't mean I don't still experience it. You know, it's an ongoing practice, and it's an ongoing way to live your life, and so I still have those moments of upset. And what I've really found is those times when I'm feeling overwhelmed or stuck, or and by being stuck, it can be stuck in this pattern of complaining and upset and like you said, bitchiness or whatever else it is. It's usually because I've created a story around something in my life. I've created drama. And that moves us out of acceptance of what is. So instead of seeing the truth, for instance, I was talking to a group this weekend, and a lady had lost her job. And her reaction to that experience was, I lost my job. There's no way I'm going to get another job in this economy. Everybody's looking for work, and I'm middle-aged, and I'm unemployable. And she had created a whole drama around the experience of losing her job, when the truth of the situation was she was without a job in that moment. It didn't mean she would be 2 weeks from now or 5 years from now. It didn't mean she wasn't employable. And so often when I fall into those modes, like with when I was diagnosed with a cancer or when I decided it was my choice to give up my job for a period of time to be at home with my daughter, and yet I went into that mode where, well, I have to do it all at home, and if I was working, I'd feel so much better. And, you know, this cancer, this is a really scary form of skin cancer. And, you know, that wasn't it. I was creating a story around those things. So usually when I fall into a pattern of complaining, it's because I'm adding drama where there doesn't need to be any. And I tell people to stand back, sit still, and just say what they see. Look around their environment and say it out loud. So right now I'm in my office, and I'm looking at beige carpet. Now, there is a black spot on the beige carpet, but that doesn't have to be a bad black spot or a good black spot or icky. It doesn't mean that I need to run out right away and clean the carpet. I can just say, I see beige carpet. I see a black spot. I see books on the bookshelf. And when we get in the habit, I mean, it's a very simple practice. When we get in the habit of looking at life without judgment, all of a sudden our need to complain goes away because there's no drama around that anymore. We simply see what is, and from that place of truth, then we have clear-eyed information to make decisions from going forward. You know, it's not about giving in or resignation or denial. It's about, oh, okay, this is a situation. I'm complaining a little bit right now. It doesn't have to be anything. It doesn't have to be a bad or good thing. You don't have to be frustrated by it. And then you get curious. And once you're curious, as your listeners know, it switches on the essence of who you are, and you start to explore yourself a little bit and start to explore the things going on in your world, and things get a little clearer.
Wonderful. So I'm curious, Polly, have you ever done any kind of cognitive behavioral therapy? Because that sounds like observing and describing and in a non-judgmental way.
You know, I have done some therapy and worked with life coaches and studied all of this. And acceptance in that form is also from many of the Eastern traditions. And so I've just kind of incorporated it into my life on both ways, from a spiritual and intellectual level, because what I've really found in myself is that when we are separate from our mind, our body, or our spirit, we're not whole. So I'm not asking you not to use your brain to tune into this, because that's a resource of information. It's simply we can't let it run away with us. We need to incorporate our whole body in this experience, and it takes some of the drama out of it. And there's a man named Stephen Hayes who has pioneered acceptance and commitment therapy, and he talked about this, and I mentioned some of his thoughts in my book as well. What he says is, when you're trying not to think of something, so when you're frustrated with the complaining and you're trying to shut that down, then what our brains do is they have to cycle around to remember what we're trying not to think about. So if you're saying, why should I be complaining? I shouldn't be complaining. I'm going to move on. Then your brain's going to come back and say, what was that? Oh, yeah, I'm not supposed to complain. What's that? Oh, yeah. And it keeps coming back to that thought. But if you notice the thoughts and they are just like noisy children in the back of the car, and you're still going to get to where you're getting, and you're the driver, then you can say, oh, hey, there you are. Okay. And then keep driving. Oh, hey, there you are again. So it is a process. It's an ongoing process of noticing and awareness and being compassionate with yourself. You know, I have done this every 30 seconds for entire days on particular issues. And when you're in that cycle, it's not helpful to say, oh, I can't believe you're still doing this. You have all the information, and you've interviewed all the experts, and you've written the book, and here you are. You know, I just say, oh, yeah, there you are, silly girl. There's that thought. I'm going to let that go now. And move forward in the direction that you want to go and focus your energy on what is working.
Thank you.
I know, I do this too. I mean, I there's a funny experience I had while writing the book. I was writing a chapter about relating to others. And, you know, often our most intimate relationships with friends and family members are our greatest teachers. And that teaching sometimes comes in moments of upset when things aren't working in the relationship or they don't feel good. And so I interviewed these bigwigs, and they're all like, you know, there's gifts in that. Slow down instead of being reactive, pay attention. And so thinking about my own marriage and in here writing and feeling all loving, like, well, we have such a great thing, and tune into this. And I walked out, and there he was laying on the couch. The house was a disaster. The two-year-old was running amok. There was no dinner cooked. There was nothing. And I went from a moment of complete joy to just trigger into anger, like, I can't believe it. How did this guy end up in my house? You know, I was just there, and I experienced what you did. I'm like, geez, I study this stuff. I live this stuff, and yet I am still triggered to this behavior sometimes in my own life, and that's a time to act compassionately, you know, and say, hey, yep, I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to step back and ground myself again in what I know to be true, and that is that I'm a spiritual being, and it's okay.
Yeah, I get caught up in that I should know better because I'm sure. Self-aware enough to see that I'm doing it. But then I judge myself for doing it, and I judge, like you said, the adding the drama of it all. Like I've even this morning I was talking, complaining to a friend, and I was saying, you know, I know that I'm complaining. I know that this isn't helpful. And I know that I'm blowing this out of proportion. And yet this is still how I'm feeling. This is what it feels real to me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get into that place too?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think we all do. And another thing that I try to practice in my life, and I say try because the intention is there, and I do it very imperfectly. But when we have moments of upset, because, you know, life is messy. Things are going to come in that we didn't welcome, that we weren't intending, whatever. And so all this stuff isn't, you know, spirituality isn't going to make you thin and rich and gorgeous and all those things that you think you want. But what it will do will help you move gracefully through the moments of upset. Because they're going to come, but we don't have to stress out about each and everything that comes into our lives. We can see it for what it is, and that is simply an experience without, we don't have to judge that. So one thing I'm really trying to do in my own life is to, when those moments of upset come and those negative feelings come, I'm trying to sit with them before I behave, before I react, because I find that when I'm hurt or angry or whatever, my reactions, my behavior, I act badly, and then I have to go clean that up. And I think we've, in Western culture, for sure, grown up with this notion that if you feel bad, something's wrong. And I don't think that. I think our emotions are just clues to greater understanding, greater self-understanding. And so when you're feeling bad, you don't necessarily have to go shopping or start drinking or start surfing the web to feel better. You could sit there for 5 minutes and feel the badness and feel the negativity. And then you could say, how does this feel in my body? How does it feel in my head? What kind of thoughts are contributing to this? And be contemplative. And then you start to get curious, and pretty soon the upset is moving, and you're moving through it, because our brains are wired to answer questions. And so if you're asking the question is, why is my life so bad? You're going to get all the answers about why is your life so bad. If you ask the question in those moments of upset, that, what can I learn from this? Or how can I work through this, or what do I need to know in this moment, you're also going to get those answers. And to me, that just feels more helpful. You know, that just takes the stress out of my life just a little bit, enough to move me into the next moment in a more positive way. And that's really what we're going for here. I mean, life is a whole lot of little moments strung together, and then you get a big life. So I want to feel better right now, and then I want to know myself better in the next moment too, and then the next moment. And pretty soon, all these things that were obstacles and scary and awful were just experiences in my life.
Beautifully said. Well, thank you so much. It's time for a break. We are speaking with Polly Campbell. She is the author of Imperfect Spirituality. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and you can find the podcast of this show on CITR.ca, or you can also go to my personal website, spiritualshow.com. And actually, I'm thinking about starting up a community website, and I will be putting probably a questionnaire together, but feel free to email me spiritualshow@gmail.com if that's something that would interest you, because right now I'm just sort of testing out the waters to see if listeners are interested in engaging in that way. Okay, so we'll be back with more Synchronicity in a moment.
To hear extended interviews and behind-the-scenes chat, go to my website, mariebenard.com, and sign up for my mailing list, mariebenard.com. Thanks for listening.
I knew I had a problem.
I tried counting calories, eating and eating.
Nobody else could possibly understand.
We understand. We're Overeaters Anonymous, and we have helped thousands of people stop their compulsive eating and start living a healthy, rewarding life.
With OA, I am living again and loving it.
Start living the life you deserve with help from Overeaters Anonymous. Find us on the web at OA.org.
Tune in Sundays from 9 till 10 p.m. for bootlegs and B-sides with your host, Doran, for the finest in soul, dubstep, ghetto funk, and electro.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are speaking today with Polly Campbell. She is the author of Imperfect Spirituality. If you want to ask her a question, 604-822-2487. Welcome back to the show, Polly.
Thank you.
So do you have a website?
Yes, it's www.imperfectspirituality.com.
imperfectspirituality.com. Perfect.
Right.
So let's talk about I'm looking at your book, and let's talk about the culture of perfection. I'm assuming you're talking about Western society here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, predominantly. Other cultures have aspects of it in the form of rules and expectations, but I think we've gotten really comfortable in this culture with external views and criticism and judgment. We compare ourselves to other people. We measure success by external rewards. And I think what that has done is created a society where we're spending a lot of energy and a lot of attention on fixing and denying and changing and hiding aspects of ourselves. You know, I caught myself doing it the other day in a very simple way. I was headed to the grocery store, and I was in my sweats, and I hadn't showered, and I was pretty grungy, and all the way to the store, I'm like, please, I don't want to see anyone I know. I don't want them to see me like this. And the reality is, some days I'm like that. You know, some days I'm in my sweats, and that's the way it goes. And we put all our energy into trying to have this perfect appearance, or be the ideal parents, or get the best job, or climb the social ladder. And I'm curious about what would happen if we took all our energy away from trying to fix, hide, deny who we are, and put all our energy and focus, and just accepted those things, and then put all our energy and focus into all that we already are, into our talents and our ability to act lovingly and compassionately, and our skills. And, you know, if we put all our energy into what we do and what we are able to do and what we're guided to do, I think we would have tremendous momentum. And I know that that can change the world. There's a lot of research that show that when somebody reaches out to you in a kind way, you are 90% more likely to go reach out to somebody else kindly, and so on, and it spreads. And I think we need to stop worrying so much and stop putting so much pressure on ourselves to be a certain way, to measure up to some arbitrary rules, and really focus on all that we are and step into our wholeness. We are imperfect. We do have flaws. We do have areas that we can grow on and improve on. And we are also amazing, marvelous beings with incredible talents and abilities that we also need to exercise. So we need to end the separation between trying to be something that we will never be and don't need to be, and become more of who we already are.
Well, Polly, that brings up a question, thought for me. What about people who... I mean, I'm all for accepting what is and not expecting perfection, or at least theoretically.
Right, me too.
But what about, I mean, people who are in a situation where they are, let's say someone who is highly bright and talented and charismatic and then working a minimum wage job, and mm-hmm. they know that, I mean, sometimes you've got to take the job that's available, but then
sure.
some should they resign themselves to just, okay, well, this is the way my life is, or what's wrong with feeling dissatisfaction with not living up to your potential?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to improve yourself and grow. I think it's the nature of the universe and as beings that are a part of that universe to be expansive and creative. I think what I suggest people do is that they examine their motivation. So if your motivation is to grow and improve and learn and continue to expand into yourself, I think bettering yourself and learning new skills and the things you need to do to get that next job is a good thing to do. However, many of us are motivated by external things. We're motivated to be thin because our husband will love us more, or we're motivated to drive a fancy car because it looks better in the mom's group, or whatever it is. So that's something that only you can know. But if you feel like you are growing, or if you feel like you're making changes or wanting to improve certain things to impress somebody else or make an impression on something outside of yourself, then I would say you may feel unfulfilled even when you reach those objectives. If you are making changes and learning and studying and growing because you are curious and because you are expansive and you are a creative being and you want to know more about yourself so that you can do more in the world, then I think that's an entirely different thing. And you have to, you know, these are things to ask yourself and contemplate and know where you're coming from. Neither way is a wrong or right way. I'm just saying that for me, when I made that shift into understanding why I was doing some of the things I was doing and why I wanted to grow into my best self, it freed me up to be more of that and kind of let me off the hook on the things that I don't do so well.
Fair enough. So let's talk about now the courage to stand in your truth. Are you suggesting, you mentioned the example of going around in your sweats. Are you suggesting that we just give up on trying to look our best?
No. I think you need to do it. I think at any given time, you need to step in and, again, look at your motivation and see how you're feeling. I want to look good sometimes. I want to represent myself well because we are that too. But stepping in your truth and is about more about living with spiritual integrity and knowing who you are without the clothes and without the contraptions and without all and who you are really is this energetic being that is filled with love and light and kindness, and however you want to express that is cool. If you want to, you know, look good when you're talking before a group of people or you're going out with your friends and that makes you feel good, that's what this is about. This is about feeling better about who you are. It's about recognizing who you already are. And, you know, I laughed at myself when I went to the store in the sweats and I got hung up on them. I'm like, oh, I'm this sometimes. And I'm also the, you know, black slacks, nice blouse kind of woman that can stand up and feel good about that sometimes too. I'm all of that. And this is more about recognizing that some days you'll be the complaining, fussy girl, and other days you'll be the joyful, giving girl. It can be all of that. simply because one day you're running around in sweats or in a bad mood, it doesn't mean you're any less spiritual or any less important or that you should give up the practice. It doesn't mean that you're screwing it up somehow. It means you're having an experience.
All right. I can agree with that. Okay. I'm just having all of these thoughts and wondering about, there's so many things that I want to ask you. But let's talk about feeling good about the bad emotions, because you mentioned, some days you're the complaining person.
Yeah.
So how do you, without further perpetuating the complaining and getting into that cycle? Because in my experience, if I'm noticing myself complain, and then I stop myself and I move on and I find a way to feel better, then, I can get on with my day. But if I allow myself to dwell in that, all of a sudden, most of my day is spent feeling negative. Even if I'm not complaining to other people, I might be just complaining in my own mind, And then the next day I'll be feeling much the same rather than nipping it in the bud. So how do you feel good about the bad emotions? And is that in order to be able to move past them?
Yeah, I think all of it is about moving through instead of getting stuck in, if that makes sense. Because I definitely have days like you just described where I'm having some tough feelings and I just get stuck in them and I go around and around. The next day I'm not feeling that much better and I get stuck in that cycle. So this isn't about denying them or doing something to feel better so you don't have to feel the negative feelings. It's more about acknowledging them and becoming aware and stepping into that awareness so you can move with them and move through them. Because I think our emotions really are clues. If I'm not feeling good about something, it usually means that I'm out of balance somewhere or disconnected from something or doing something that I know intuitively isn't the right thing for me or whatever it is. When I slow down and take a breath and kind of investigate that a little bit, sometimes I get an awareness of, that's why I'm feeling stressed out or that's why I'm feeling so angry and I need to go address that now or now I can get into that. Other times, to be honest, I don't have a clue. It doesn't always hit me. I don't always know. And in those moments, I do exactly the same thing. I sit with them for a minute on my best days. Sometimes I do behave badly from them. And then, as I mentioned, I've got to go clean up that bad behavior. But on my best days, I'll sit with them and say, well, this is just kind of a funky thing, and I'm going to pay attention, and I'm going to keep going my direction toward the things that also are meaningful to me and the things that matter to me. And, I do think that sometimes if you're in that state, you just need to wallow in it. And what I mean by that is there are times in my life where I've just said, I'm having a lot of big emotion. I feel very upset for whatever reason, and I'm going to give myself 10 minutes to really play out that drama and really go through that and examine that and just be feeling bad. And then I'll call a girlfriend and I'll complain or do whatever I do in that 10 minutes. But when that 10 minutes is up, then I hold myself accountable and I move back into that place where I can start investigating what maybe is a source of that and what I can learn from that situation so that I do not get stuck in that.
Okay, so it sounds like you're saying taking the time to wallow in that for a minute and indulging in that. I don't even know if you would want to use the word indulging, but that is far different than, because for what the habit that I get into, and I know it's not necessarily an effective habit, but it's a habit, so I continue with it, is that I feel the negative emotion and then I push it away. I do whatever I can. I reject. I'm like, I don't want to feel this way. I want to feel better. I want to feel better. Why don't I feel better? Why am I behaving in this way? Why am I having these thoughts? And then it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, rather than sitting for 10 minutes, allowing myself to feel crappy and then moving on.
Yeah.
Like I said, it becomes an all day event.
I can relate to that. And sometimes, in fact, often the pushing away can become dangerous to us too, right? Because sometimes people push away with drugs or alcohol, or sometimes they push away by having an affair or by shopping with money they don't have or surfing the web for hours instead of connecting with their partner or their friends. And so, of course we want to feel better. I do too. But what I found is just exactly what you've experienced and shared, and that is when I move too quickly into the feeling better immediately thing, when I do whatever I have to do to get to that place, I've missed the point of the emotion. It's like having a pain in your foot, and you never go to the doctor, and you just live with the pain. It keeps coming back, and you're continually reminded. And then you go to the doctor, and you realize you had a broken bone that could have been fixed a month ago. And so by you know, and wallow may even be too strong, but by sitting in that emotion and allowing yourself to feel it, really, what is that? What kind of clue is that telling you? Feel bad, and then notice what the badness is about. Then for me, it has worked to move on and at least choose more positive behavior. You know, and a good example is things will happen around here with my husband and or my daughter, and it'll flare me to anger. Whenever I respond directly to that, it's just ridiculous. Nothing gets solved. I escalate things with my mood and my behavior. I handle it poorly. When I can take a break, for instance, if I've had a disagreement with my husband and he's at work and we can't talk immediately, usually within about 5 or 10 minutes, I'm coming back at it from a kinder, more compassionate place for both he and I. And from that place, there's great understanding, and then you can actually work through things and work through the upset in a way that yields a positive result. And I think we need to do that for ourselves. If you lose your job or somebody treats you poorly, in your opinion, or something happens that is disappointing to you, of course you're going to have emotion about that. And that is an opportunity after you've experienced that for a few minutes to come back and say, huh, interesting, I wonder why I'm so disappointed that I didn't get that promotion. I didn't think I wanted it. Or I wonder why I'm so disappointed that, you know, I didn't meet that guy. I didn't think that was a big deal. And you get honest with yourself, and then you get movement. And then you expand, right? And that's what the whole point of this, I think, this experience is to be expansive.
So, Polly, thank you for that. And it brings up another question. Now, sometimes when I'm feeling overwhelmed and it's been for an extended period of time, for a matter of like days or weeks or whatever, where I've had this, for me, I mean, I'm fortunate in that I'm able to still find joy and appreciation and things that I'm grateful for, even when I'm going through a rough patch. Mm-hmm. But I find that, and this is part of, I have symptoms of post-traumatic stress and whatnot from, I won't get into it, but so it's sort of been, I guess it's like this learned behavior, this learned mental state. You know, I obviously have a lot of neural pathways in my brain that kind of puts me automatically at that baseline of stress and overwhelm. And so sometimes I feel like, oh, well, if I could just get out of town, or if I could just go away and be quiet for like a week or whatever, things that are not really reasonable or doable within the confines of, you know, the responsibilities that I have in the world. And so do you ever find yourself getting trapped in that pattern of, like you had mentioned, the people who want to go to a workshop and yet they don't have the money for it, so then they just give up? Like, where do we find that balance, and how do we, and do you have any tips on how to, I guess, in addition to reading your book, that would be good.
yeah, read the book. No, but I can give you some concrete things that I've done, at least, that have worked for me.
Okay.
I want people to really, you know, I'm very serious when I say this is practical stuff, and I love your show because you give your listeners something that they can do right now to move through their life, and I'm all about that. So let's talk about that, because of course I feel that way and get caught up in that. And one of the things, you know, I fantasize about running away, you know, to a quiet place like a cabin on the beach where nobody knows I'm there, and I just sit for hours and stare at the ocean. Of course I feel like that when things are coming in on me. And I personally don't think there's any such thing as balance. And what I mean by that is there are times in my life when my family's needs and demands and interests require more of my attention than myself or my work. And there are times when my work requires more attention. And so it's constantly a shifting back and forth. And I've learned to be comfortable with that. Nothing gets neglected, but my energy can't be everywhere at once, so sometimes something gets greater focus. And what I try to do during those times is really ground myself physically And so the way I do that is I move my body. You know, there's a lot of research, and you were talking about the neural pathways and so forth, and this is part of that. A lot of research that says when you physically move differently, you change the chemicals, your biochemistry, and that gives you a different feeling and a different result in your body, which causes you to behave differently. So one thing I tell people, I'm going to give you two quick tips, and believe me, one of them in particular, the first one I'm going to tell you, I thought was the corniest thing ever, and you know, I was going to put it in the book, and I decided not to put it in the book because I thought it was too corny, and then I said, okay, well, I'm going to sit back, and I'm going to do this for 1 week, and we'll see, and if it works for me, it can go in the book, and because if it works for me, it can work for anyone. I am very much the common woman out here, full of imperfections and messiness and all of that. And what that first thing is give yourself a hug and wrap your arms around, wrap your hands around like your biceps and your arms and feel the palm of your hands against your skin and just kind of hold yourself for a minute. If you're not comfortable doing that, take your hands and put the palms together and just kind of clasp them gently so you can feel the pressure but you're not squeezing too tight. What those things do is they release a bunch of endorphins in our body and hormones, and one of them is oxytocin. And oxytocin is the component, is the chemical that makes us want to care for ourselves and other people and makes us want to nurture things. And so when you're in the middle and you feel like the only way to survive is to flee or flip out or whatever it is we do, then you need a little self-care and you need a little comfort, and you can ground yourself in your body by holding yourself a little bit. Incidentally, rubbing your hands together, rubbing the soles of your feet also stimulates those receptors in our body that cause that biochemical reaction designed to make us feel comforted. And if you're not comfortable with any of that, go get a massage, because this is all, touch is powerful. Give your partner a hug, and I'm talking, you know, not a sexual hug, none of that, just hold each other. You can get it that way, or a friend. So there are lots of ways to get touch, and the big one is do it yourself. And I hugged myself. I hugged myself this weekend, and I laugh every time now because it was such a thing with me, like, oh, that's baloney. That is never going to work. It definitely works. And the other thing is also a physiological mood, and that is, particularly, I do this when I'm sitting at my desk and I'm stressed out about something and I feel overwhelmed, and I just lift my chin up to the ceiling or lift your chin and let your eyes drift to the sky. When we lift ourselves upward, we feel better. And there's research on this, and they're trying to figure out why. But again, it stimulates the release of all these healthy chemicals in our bodies, feel-good endorphins, so we actually feel better. And if you can feel better just for a split second, if you can ease that moment just for a second, then you go into the next from a little different state, and you're able to make little different choices, and it may be enough to get you through the upside.
Thank you for that. I really like the looking up and the, yeah, there's so many. Thank you for giving us practical things that we can do in the moment, because like you said, when you are caught in that pattern, you're not having the most effective coping skills.
Definitely.
And you'll be like, you get yourself all worked up. Oh my gosh, my life is like this. How am I going to solve these problems? Blah, 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 blah. And then you're just flooded with all of these like stress hormones. And your brain, you can't solve a problem when you're in panic mode. You just can't.
Right. I mean, that's when I think we feel stuck and overwhelmed, because we do. We have a rush of all this energy and emotion, and it's not working for us at that point. And that is not, incidentally, I think we can be spiritual at any moment in our lives. However, I will tell you that I'm not my most spiritual self when I'm freaking out about something. I'm just not. And so what I've learned to do is just what I told you, is move my body in a way to get me physically out of that stress So then I can function with my heart and my head a little better, just like you said. You know, another really good way for me, and there's, again, more, you know, a lot of this is founded in science, too, because I want it to be practical. I want people to know this isn't woo-woo. This is stuff you can do right now. But go outside. When we see something natural, a tree, even a lawn, when we look at something green, both those things have been shown to reduce stress. Both those things have healing properties, and there are hospitals now throughout Canada and the U.S. that are looking at and incorporating into their designs, you know, indoor gardens or healing gardens outside and fountains and lots of green plants, because people heal faster physically from physical wounds and illness. It eases depression. So if you're having an upset in the middle of your day, which all of us have, look out the window. It's pretty hard to be freaking out when you're mindfully looking at the tree outside your window that was created by this amazing energy and this amazing source that is part of all of us. It's a way to kind of snap you back into what is real and help you move through the next thing.
So, Polly, now we can read your book, we can learn all of these skills, and it sounds like you have some amazingly practical stuff in here. In the book, the name of the book is Imperfect Spirituality, and your website is imperfectspirituality.com.
Right.
But do you have any tips on how to trigger, like, reminding yourself when you're caught up in those emotions to use a more effective coping strategy rather than continuing to freak out?
Yeah, I love this question, because to me this is where the magic happens in life. It's when we catch ourselves feeling great, and that's what I do. So when you're in a high state, when you're feeling good, and you have one of those moments like we all have, which is, oh, wow, this is it, then notice what is around you. For instance, I have there's an old Wilson Phillips song called Hold On, and that is a trigger for me. Whenever I hear that song, it uplifts me. I feel good. I associate it with a really positive time in my life, a really fun time in my life, and that song still does it for me. I also have a personal trigger of 111 or 1 or the number 11, which for a lot of people is a divine number. For me, it just reminds me of my faith and that I'm in sync and that I'm in flow. And so find those things. If you have a special song, one that makes you feel good, if you like to dance, if you have a special color that triggers it, if there's a word that or a kind of touch on your body, you know, Anthony Robbins always says he has a physical anchor, a place he'll touch that empowers him, that makes him feel good, because he has associated it with a strong, positive emotion. So when you're feeling good, notice what is working in your life, what is part of that that amps you up. And then when you're feeling bad, when you go into these moments of upset, turn on that song that's a trigger for you, or go to that place that makes you feel good. Or, you know, you can contrive this stuff. You can fake it until you make it. So you can find these triggers that show up in the world, and when you're feeling bad, go looking for them. And if you're not hearing the song on the radio, turn it on your iPod or whatever it is. Seek out those things that are going to help you in that moment. So we can, like you said, get our brains back in balance with our heart and our body, and be able to go forward from a clearer, more healthy space. So I do stuff like that all the time. And now it just happens all the time. My triggers are everywhere. So today I was on my way home from the airport, driving like crazy to get here for your show, because I really was excited to talk to you. And I started to have these negative rumors, I'm never going to make it, I'm never going to make it, I'm never going to make it. And at that point, I looked at the clock, and I saw the number 11. And just right in the middle, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's all good. That's all it took. I was through that. I had a 40-minute drive, and it didn't stress me one bit. So when you build those things into your life, they also show up to serve you. You know, the universe will deliver. Our challenge is to notice. And so when you have a trigger, then you get to notice, and that makes it magical, because you'll see how these things are really setting up to serve you. Even if you don't like them, they're there to serve you. And the triggers can help us pay attention and feel better.
Wonderful. So it sounds like you're saying that when you're feeling good, to really practice those skills so that it becomes more of a habit. So when you're not feeling good, it's easier for you to just access that more instinctively.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the when we say practice, we could use the word habit too. What we're doing is we are, you know, building new pathways in our brain so that these things become a part. We're returning to our original state, which is the spiritual being, but we have to remind ourselves and create the habits. We have years of judgment. We have years of where we've beat up on ourselves instead of being compassionate. So that's wired into our brain to some degree. So what I'm saying now is let's practice these things in real practical ways and develop these habits. So what also is wired into our brain is these feel-good tendencies, and these stress management abilities, and this sense that of knowing and faith and optimism that helps us go through it. And so, yeah, that's the practice. It's developing the habit so when the tough times come, you move through it gracefully. You don't have to work so hard to find something to help because you know you've got it within you.
Fabulous. Well, I've been I want to go on this other tangent, but we're starting to run out of time. So I'm wondering if there's anything that you want to focus on for the last few minutes of the show.
Oh, thank you. You know, you ask great questions, and I'm excited because obviously I get excited talking about this stuff because what I really want people to take from me and this and my book is that you're good enough. You've got it within you. Now, of course you can learn and grow and expand more, but you're not doing anything wrong. The messiness and the stickiness and the things that don't go your way are part of the life experience. That's not to say they're bad or good. They're just an experience. And so I want people to relax a little and laugh a little and let themselves off the hook and pay attention when the upset is there and know that they're having a human experience. And they have the skills and the spiritual essence to move through it and take something from that. So put your energy into what is working. You know, we worry a lot about not getting everything done and keeping up with the routine and taking care of everything. You know, be grateful for what you are capable of and focus on what you are doing and then do that as best as you can. And that is enough. You can change the world by doing that. And this stuff is practical. You can use it in any moment, and it will show up for you.
Fabulous. Well, is there anything else that you'd like to add before we close the show?
Thank you very much for having me. I think you're doing a great service, and I'm excited about the things you talk about on the show, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Thank you so much, Polly. It's been wonderful. And again, your book is Imperfect Spirituality, and your website is imperfectspirituality.com.
Yep.
Yes. Well, thank you so much and have a wonderful day. And I'm so glad you made it on time for the show.
Me too. Thank you very much.
Yay. Take care. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
All right. So that was Polly Campbell. She is the author of Imperfect Spirituality. I am your host, Marie Bernard. This has been Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul here on CITR. And coming up in just a few minutes is Parts Unknown with DJ Carissa Riffick. And I'm going to play some music by Surya Devi and Anna Taylor to close the show. So I hope you have a wonderful week. Remember to take a moment and feel some love for yourself, feel some acceptance for yourself, and remind yourself that wherever you are, it's okay. I'm sure that you're doing the best that you can. And if you're not, well, you can forgive yourself for that in this moment as well. So I'm sending all of my love to you. I hope you have a wonderful week. Be well. Namaste.
Up next is Parts Unknown with DJ Chris Arific on CITR.
To hear extended interviews and behind-the-scenes chat, go to my website, mariebenard.com, and sign up for my mailing list, mariebenard.com. Thanks for listening.
Let's listen in as one poor soul tries to find something good to enjoy on the radio.
Let's see here. God. Ugh.
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Ugh. Everybody. God, this is awful.
Well, I climbed up the mountain, climbed back down again for you. I climbed up the mountain again for you, and then I climbed back down, climbed
up. Isn't there anything? 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 Anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Discorder magazine or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance?
February 4th at Open Studios in Vancouver, Sequential Circus celebrates 10 years of showcasing cutting-edge West Coast live electronic music with Sequential Circus 20. Featuring live musical performances by Computer Controlled, Dega Sound, Dark Arps, Kafka, Kimlet, and NoCore, plus performance art by Subscura, live visuals, and much more. Put on your dancing shoes and join us 10 p.m. Saturday, February